When I mention the word comforter, what comes to your mind? Well, you're more theologically oriented. I know that. Some people will say, oh, my grandma used to knit just wonderful comforters. And some of those comforters that Granny worked on, you know, they're worth about $3.50. You go to Amish or Mennonite areas in Ohio and Indiana, and some of those will be very, very expensive. I think that Steve can testify to that as a fellow Hoosier. Some people say comforter. Well, let's see now. You have a comforter of a blanket, and others will come up with some other concepts of what a comforter is. But to me, I thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit, the comforter. But did you know that there's also the concept of a triune comforter? And I want to just briefly, before going to prayer, look at three scriptures that demonstrate the need for a comforter. You know, in Romans, it tells us in verse 32, if God be for us, who can be against us? I want you to repeat that phrase with me. If God be for us. And we know that that means since God be for us. He is in our favor. He is on our side. Will we kind of bask in that tonight? I think that maybe some of you need to do that, because some of you may be going through trials, testings, adversity, loneliness, difficulty, misunderstanding. God is for you. He is on your side, and He demonstrated that on the cross of Calvary as we studied this last Lord's Day. But the word comforter is the Greek word parakletos. More specifically, two words, parakaleo, the one who is called beside, called alongside us. And in the person of the Holy Spirit, He literally is within us, and we thank the Lord. But all three members are considered, members of the Godhead, are considered to be comforters to the believer. And I'd like for you to take your Bibles to the first scripture, 2 Corinthians, if you'll take the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Of course, 2 Corinthians, a large portion of it deals with the aspect of the special gift for those that were going through adversity and persecution. The Apostle Paul in this epistle gives the testimony of his suffering in chapter 11. But you know, thank the Lord for the comforter mentioned in verses 3 and 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's take the time to look at 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and notice, the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. There's the word parakletos. It speaks about the one called alongside. Then it goes on to say, who comforts us, and I like that three-letter word, in all our tribulation. God the Father is available to comfort us in every single trial that we go through. And He wants to ensure our victory in order to enhance our testimony. And I can give testimony to the fact that so many things that God has brought me through, He just goes right and turns around and uses that for a ministry in my life. And I'll run across someone else who's going through that same trial, and I'll be able to help them. Dick, you probably remember a gentleman theologian by the name of Lehman Strauss. And he wrote a little booklet, little devotional booklet, put out by Regular Baptist Press. And of course, we're using regular Baptists for our Sunday school for this short period of time. He wrote a little book called In God's Waiting Room. And it's basically a testimony, a chronology of all of the trials and testings and thoughts and difficulties that he went through as his ailing wife went to go home to be with the Lord. And he was in God's waiting room. And he testifies to the fact how he, in his little booklet, he says, how he was able to be a comfort to many because he himself was going through those things. And it says, the Lord is the God of all comfort, God the Father, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And all of us are familiar with individuals like Johnny, Eric, and Tata, who have literally started worldwide ministries through personal suffering and difficulty. And turn the tables on the devil, allow God to have his way in your life, and God will turn misery to ministry. And he wants us to be used for him. So God is our comforter. So that's the first member of the Godhead. Now, if you look to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, you'll see that the Holy Spirit is also our comforter. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 16. And our Lord has begun his instruction that he must go away, but he says in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another parakletos, another comforter. There is the word again. That he may abide with you for how long?
Forever.
Forever. Even in heaven? Apparently so. Apparently so. There'll be that union together. And the comforter, what will he do? Look at verse 26. But the parakletos, the comforter, and it's identified, he's identified, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. You see, all three members of the Trinity here, sent by the Father in the name of the Son, the Holy Spirit comes. He shall teach you all things. It's not Pastor John's job to teach you God's Word. It's the Holy Spirit that uses the Word of God to teach you. So you give the glory to God if you learn anything. Through the Holy Spirit, he opens our eyes to behold wondrous truths out of his Word. He shall teach you all things. And by the way, indirectly, this is a good scripture on the preservation of God's Word too. Because it was the Holy Spirit that brought to remembrance the scriptural writers of the Bible as the penmen of Scripture. The Lord supernaturally brought to their minds the content that they were to write. Using their writing style, using their vocabulary, but yet the Holy Spirit brought to remembrance. That's why we believe that we possess God's holy word. But at the same time, I can tell you that there have been many times when God has brought to remembrance things that I needed to know when I needed to know them. A good example would be the ordination council. Boy, did I pray that. Lord, bring it to mind. And he did. Now, by the way, if you don't study for an exam, is it a good idea to just say, well, the Lord will reveal it to me? No, don't do that. Some people would be so presumptuous as to do that. But the Lord blesses faithfulness, but it says he shall bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And even when we stand before our adversaries, folks, the Spirit of God will give us the words that we need to speak. And I'm sure that many a Christian martyr would testify to the fact that God gave them the words to speak. But the Holy Spirit is our comforter, John 14, verses 16 and 26. Now, let me take you to another one that perhaps you might not as quickly expect to find in the scripture that I'm going to take you to, but turn to the first epistle of John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is our parakletos. Okay? So we have God the Father, our comforter, the Holy Spirit, our comforter, and now the Lord Jesus Christ, our comforter. Verse 1. My little children, my born ones, born into the family of God through faith, these things write I unto you, that you do not practice sin. Don't sin. And if any man sin, what is it? We have a parakletos, translated advocate here. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The same word here, parakletos, is translated advocate, meaning a defense attorney. And in this capacity, it's applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Notice what it says, the righteous. Why does it include the righteous? In order for Christ to have ascended into heaven, to assume that position as our advocate, he must have been the righteous one to satisfy God's just demands for our sins. And his impeccability is stressed here. And even though we're guilty, lost sinners, he has paid the penalty for our sins. He takes our side before the judge, pleading his offering of his own blood for our sins. Because in verse 2 it says, he is the propitiation, the wrath appeasement for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. We covered that last Sunday night. He's never lost a case yet. You remember one time when we were studying this scripture, we mentioned about how good Perry Mason was. Well, he one time lost one to Hamilton Berger, do you remember? On TV, the one that he lost. Well, Jesus Christ has never lost a case because he has satisfied God's righteousness. So we see each member of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, serving as paracletes, as the comforter to the believer. So does the Lord place a big premium on comforting us? Absolutely, he does. By the way, let me show you something else that comforts the believer. In addition to the triune Godhead, turn to the book of Romans chapter 15. And I'll close with this. Romans 15. I'm not saying finally, brethren. I'm really going to close with this. Okay. Romans 15:4. It says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience, and parakletos, by comfort of the scriptures, you might have hope. Not only does God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit act as our paraclete to give us comfort, but the Word of God, the scriptures, Romans 15:4, tell us that the scriptures, the access that we have to the scriptures, give comfort. So if you're needing encouragement, not only do you have the triune Godhead, but look at the book. Go to the scriptures and you'll find comfort and strength. And I will tell you personal testimony, whenever I'm down and out or whenever I'm just drained and tired from preaching on a Sunday, I'll just open up the Word of God and just let the water flow back in. And God's word will recharge your ever-ready battery. It does that. And he brings us comfort and help. Let's bow our heads together. And while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, won't you take the time to just thank the Lord for his comfort in your life and the value that he places on being comfort. Then we have to ask ourselves, have we availed ourselves to draw near unto God and to be in his word that we might obtain that comfort? Are we going to the right places for comfort? Oh, the anesthetic crutches of this world can never provide that comfort. Guide us, Lord, as we go to prayer this evening. And if there be one listening to this message that has never trusted in Christ as personal Savior, may that comfort be received by first receiving peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ in saving faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.